Moncrief on News Talk.
Having co-written the hugely successful stage show Aikino, along with a raft of groundbreaking comedy shows such as Brass Eye, Toast of London and, of course, Father Ted, Arthur Matthews has finally gone after the big money by penning a biography of the Free State Minister for Justice, Kevin O'Higgins. It's called Walled In by Hate, Kevin O'Higgins, His Friends and Enemies. Arthur, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
There has been a couple of other biographies of him. So were you kind of trying to get more at the inner man?
Yeah, there was one. Well, it was written in 1948 and then republished in the 80s when I read it. And there was one about 20 years ago, which was focused on his political life. So this is more, it's not just about O'Higgins, it's also it's about his friends and his enemies and his family and his love affairs, the search for his killers, the assassins, what happened to them. So it's very dry. I mean, he was married, like, I'm coming in today to Diggs Lane, and he was married in the Carmelite church just beside us. He was married there. And then the best man at his wedding, Rory O'Connor, was executed, and O'Higgins had to agree to his execution. And then he was exhumed like 3 years later after the wedding, and then the remains were brought back to the Carmelite church. So it's all those kind of stories.
Yeah.
But it's just beside us. When I was walking in, that's just where he was married.
And O'Higgins, now the best man story is kind of, one could look at that and think, God, what a cruel, heartless man that he could do that. But I assume he did none of those things lightly, agreeing to those executions.
Well, O'Connor and three others, two TDs were shot near the Dáil. I think it was Richard Mulcahy, who was the Minister of Defence, decided to make an example of prisoners that they had, so that they selected four prisoners. And one of them was Rory O'Connor, who was O'Higgins' best man at his funeral. And that was just over a year before.
Mm.
So it's very dramatic. But he didn't initially agree to that, but he did eventually. But he would have agreed to that. Then the next morning he knew across the river O'Connor was being executed. And then he had to go into the Dáil and justify his decision.
Yeah.
And, of course, he himself was shot then. So it's full of violence and drama.
Yeah. And when he went into the Dáil to justify it, he seemed to have had some difficulty in doing that.
Well, he made a very long speech. People, they're all on the website. Oroctus, what's it called?
Yeah, Oroctus, yeah, that's where they live. Yeah.
Oopteron, yeah. Whatever it's called. Well, it's on the website, all the debates, all debates, and about the executions and the Public Safety Acts. It was essentially O'Higgins against people like Cathal O'Shannon, the Labour Party, Thomas Johnson, leader of the Labour Party. But they're very articulate and they're just really very, very articulate, very dramatic. And O'Higgins' speech is quite long, but he broke down at the end of it. And he was regarded as the hard man of the government, because he did break down at the end of that speech, and it's the only time he ever broke down.
Yeah.
He was very tough. He was only 30 years old when this happened as well.
And his, I suppose, if you like, his moral logic was, it's an appalling thing to agree to 70-something executions, but it might bring the civil war to an end.
Well, the country was in complete anarchy at the time. Like, my grandfather was elected to the Dáil as a result of O'Higgins' his assassination.
Yeah.
Because it was a general election. But he had his car taken at gunpoint during the civil war, and was found like a few days later riddled with bullets. And I went to the archive and just put in his name, and I found his claim for compensation and a cheque that he made out to the garage in Kells who fixed the car up. I don't know how they would have managed to, get rid of 30 bullet holes.
It's probably a very niche thing, having a bullet hole fixing service, I would have thought. The chaps who assassinated O'Higgins, it seems it was an opportunistic thing rather than they were laying in wait for him.
Yeah, apparently they were going to a Gaelic football match in Wexford, I think. So I don't know if they played in the match after shooting them. I don't know what their mental state would have been.
Yeah.
But three of them, they were driving along and they thought, because they were full of hatred for him because of the executions, and they saw him and they thought, is that him? And then they drove on and thought, I think it was him. They didn't think it would be him because he didn't have his bodyguard with him, which was unusual. But he was going to mass in Booterstown. And they turned the car around and drove back and got out, stopped the car, got out of the car, shot him 7 times, I think. But then he, they were all kind of Collins squad, assassination squad members. And Collins always told people, you know, if you're doing this, make sure they're dead. But Higgins was still alive with 7 bullets in him. And then he talked to them and said he forgave them. And he said, the killing has to stop. There's been too much of this. And then he was, because he lived just close by, and he was taken back to his house, and he died that day, later that day. But one of them, Bill Gannon, was very traumatised by this, or upset by it, and he never got over it, really. And he told his son years later what had happened. But no one was ever arrested for the, or no one was ever charged. Well, people were charged, I think, with the murder, but no one was ever convicted for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sean McBride was brought in, who people might remember.
Yeah, of course.
The search for the assassins is quite good, and also people would just accuse anyone. There's loads of the Garda files, or lots of people who just accuse people they didn't like, and said, "Oh, I'm sure, definitely he killed O'Higgins."
Yes. Somebody says there used to be a theory that the O'Higgins' killing was somehow connected to dodgy goings on in the Irish sweepstakes.
I don't think so. He was Joe McGrath was a cabinet minister, and he was the man behind. He later did the cabinet's the sweepstakes. Yeah, he came up with the sweepstakes. But and he was in at the cabinet meeting that O'Higgins had to agree to the executions, and he came in late at that meeting, and he was very reluctant to agree to it, but he did in the end. But then he was very associated with the Free State. All the kind of the CID stuff, where they take people in and beat them up essentially and give them a good going over. But then he was friends with Sean Lamass, who was obviously on the other side, and they played poker together afterwards. So
that's
quite forgiving.
That's the odd thing that you do seem to describe in the book, that the visceral hatred that even when Enda Kenny unveiled a plaque. Yeah. To him, that was, what, 2012 or something?
2012, yeah.
That the reaction to that was still there. That
it didn't stay up very long, yeah, it was ripped down. I think, like, someone like Liam Lynch, there's a thing in the book about Liam Lynch, commemorations for him. Liam Lynch was the kind of Republican anti-treaty leader, and the commemorations for him were, like, extravagant, and talks and marches and their bands and everything. I think... we just prefer rebels in this country, I think, to kind of pragmatists like O'Higgins. I mean, most Republicans, they do become pragmatic, you know.
Mm.
There's very few kind of really wild men left, but yeah, people have been. O'Higgins is not fondly remembered.
Yeah, to this day.
Even to this day, yeah, yeah. Yeah, as I say, we just prefer kind of the I call it the Shane McGowan effect.
Yeah.
Kind of the rebels. Like, McGowan almost got a state funeral. But, yeah.
Yeah, well...
The Law and Order people don't tend to fare as well, you know.
But with the Law and Order people are the people who actually are the grown-ups eventually.
Well...
And organised.
I think in 1922, someone had to run the country, and it wasn't... the British, and it couldn't have been the Republicans because they didn't really have a mandate. I mean, the only people with a mandate were the Free State government.
Yeah.
So, but if you read about the state of the country, it was pretty chaotic, as well as my grandfather having his car stolen. Worse things than that happened.
Yeah. But at the same time, did you, in your family, even though your family would have been a Fine Gael family, were there other parts of your family who might have been anti-treaty people?
Well, my mother's father was in the RIC, and then he resigned from the RIC because he saw some black and tan atrocity up in Cavan. And then he became Fianna Fáil. And I think he joined the IRA then, and then he was Fianna Fáil. But I don't know much about him at all. That's only in the news cutting I saw that my uncle had. That was from the time of my mother's father's death. But that was different. But I didn't know anything about that at all. Where I knew about my grandfather's Cumann na Gael, Fine Gael.
Yeah,
I knew all that.
Yeah, I suppose it is the thing. Pretty much everybody in this country will know what side.
Yeah, exactly. I did. Well, maybe not now, but like when I was at school, 50 years ago, almost. No, it is Jesus. Sorry. Yeah. I just can't believe it. I'm taken aback by my great age. But at the time, people, you know, I went to Castleknock where all the Cosgraves went. William T. Cosgrave and Liam Cosgrave and those people. So, so you wouldn't kind of know, but nowadays I don't think people care that much about it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully.
Hopefully, exactly, yeah.
The book is called Walled In by Hate. Kevin Higgins, His Friends and Enemies, Arthur Matthews is the author. I'm not going to ask you about Graham. So you can relax. I know you're sick of it. Graham Lennon will actually be on The Hard Shoulder with Kieran later on today. So you can hear all about that then. Arthur Matthews, thanks a million.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.